Have you ever seen a mother cry when she lost her little boy? Or a mom and dad stand broken, for their son's life has been destroyed? Have you seen old age take those away who are precious to our hearts? Listen then to what I say. God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. He knows the path you take. He brought you this far in life's way. He'll never let you down. God makes no mistakes. Have you cried a river full of tears with an aching, broken heart? Have you prayed and prayed, but no answer came in an hour oh so dark? Weeping may endure the night, but joy will come at dawn. And then, my friend, you too can say that God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. He knows the path you take. He brought you this far in life's way. He'll never let you down. God makes no mistakes. Eyes not seen, ears not heard what the Father has to view. But until the day He calls us home, let me say to you, that God makes no mistakes. He knows the path you take. He brought you this far in life's way. He'll never let you down. God makes no mistakes. He brought you this far in life's way. He'll never let you down. God makes no mistakes.
That's great, wasn't it? Thank you, Brother Tony. Appreciate it. Three guesses, what chapter, what book and chapter in the Bible to turn to this morning. Would you figure Genesis chapter 1? You're right. Here we go. Genesis chapter 1. Shouldn't take you but a second to find that. Genesis chapter 1. Now, next Sunday, on the 27th, not only baby day, but next Sunday is our first time of five this year that we will recognize different people in the church who've been with us for different periods of time. So next Sunday, all the people in the church, this would include nursery, little people too, all the people who've been members here for 10 years or less. Okay, now we're not going to figure that out for you. You figure it out, okay? 10 years or less. Obviously, if you're 8 years of age, you probably fit in that group, all right? So a small gift next Sunday for every person, but there might be adults here who've been members here less than 10 years. So if you've been here less than 10 years, next Sunday we have a small gift for everybody who's been here 10 years and under, and only that group. Okay, now you say, well, if I've been here 20 years, I've been here 10. Well, it's just for 10 years and under. 10 years and under. Okay, next Sunday, so we'll do it morning and evening, special little gift for everybody in commemoration of our 50th anniversary. Amen. Good song for us this morning, huh? Good song. God makes no mistakes. I see people dabbing their eyes and moved. And that's good. Amen. I like that. Brother Tony, thank you for being led of the Lord. And it is. I see Eileen Collins back here who just buried her daughter. And Eileen, God bless you. And I know you know that, but it's not. It still doesn't make it any easier when that happens. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word today if you're able. If you're not, that's fine. Remain seated. And if you didn't bring a Bible, just listen. We're going to read two verses in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Will you follow along as I read them out loud, where the Bible says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." Let's pray together. Father, we pray that You'll open our eyes now to behold wondrous things from Your book. Thank You for all of the Bible. Thank You especially for this book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, and its first chapter, and these first several verses. Help us this morning. Thank You for the good song that reminded us that You make no mistakes. And Lord, we must trust You when difficult things come. We look to You now, O God, for help, filling us with power, both speaker and listener, so that the Spirit of God can accomplish something in our hearts today. And we'll thank You for it in Christ's name, and amen. Again, we are in the first chapter of the first book in our Bible, the book of beginnings, the book of origins, the beginning of time as we know it, the beginning of all creation, the beginning of everything mentioned in chapter 1 except God, because He had no beginning. There is not one, there's no one. God is the only one who has any authority to speak intelligently and truthfully about the beginning, because He was there. Nobody else can do that. He was there. And as God speaks to us intelligently and truthfully about the beginning, there's not one hint of evolution or any kind of evolutionary process that God speaks about in the beginning of time. So honest people not only accept the biblical account, they believe it. Saying you accept it, folks, is a cop-out. Tell people you believe it. You can accept things that you don't believe, don't particularly enjoy, but to believe it's something altogether different. Now, we have all of you who are normally involved in the 11 o'clock ministry in the auditorium this morning, which means we have teachers, anywhere from probably 26 to 28 people that are normally not in the auditorium or here this morning. Let me bring you up to date what we've been doing the last couple of weeks. We have taken the opportunity to look at the two-word phrase in Genesis chapter 1, "and God." And God. I explained to the people 2 weeks ago that on January 1st, probably about, 6 o'clock in the morning, I began reading the Bible for the new year, to read my Bible through once again. And this year I am using my dad's Bible, that old King James Thompson chain that he literally wore out. And as I began to read in chapter 1, Dad had taken a pen and had circled the words "and God" every time they were used. I thought, wow, look at this. How many times have I read it? And it never jumped out at me. In the Bible, God does not use repetition because He ran out of something to say. In the Bible, God uses repetition for sake of emphasis. And God, and God, and God. 28 times in 31 verses. And God, and God, and God, and God. And so we're looking at these times when the phrase "and God" is used. Now, the word that is used to follow "and God" most of the time is the word "said." You see that in verse number 3. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." You say, how did light come into this world? God spoke it. Well, that's kind of hard to believe. Easier than some people's theory that there was some kind of explosion of gases and combustion, and here we all are. It's crazy. And God said. So the first thing we learn about God in this chapter is that God created everything from nothing, and the way He did it was by speaking it into existence. So we learn that God speaks. And God speaks words, and His words are powerful words. And again, for those of you who haven't been in here, and for those of us who have, because it doesn't hurt us to be asked again, and because you don't preach just to tickle people's ears, what is your plan involving God's Word this year? Do you have a plan for how you're going to involve this book in your life in 2019? Okay. When we first preached this, we were 6 days into the new year. Now we're 20. I would guess that there are still people in the auditorium who've been here for the last 2 weeks, we've been here the last 2 Sundays. You still don't have a plan for God's book in your life this year. And you're God's child. But tell you something, folks, any change for good and for right that occurs in our lives this year will be appropriated by the power of His Word. Get a plan for God's Word in your life this year. And God said. Now, the next word, the next most used word after the words God said is the word we looked at last Sunday. It's in verse number 4 where the Bible says, and God saw. So now we learned that not only does God speak, but God sees. So the Bible teaches us that God sees. What does God see? He sees everything. He sees it all. And that should cause us to stop and take note that God sees our ways and our goings. And I gave scriptures that teach that last Sunday. I won't repeat that this morning. But God sees our ways and God sees our goings. Watch this. And more than God just seeing them, the Bible teaches us that He ponders them. And the definition of that word ponder is He understands the reason. What does that tell us, folks? That when God sees us, He sees more than just what's on the external. He sees all the way down to the core person that we are. He sees our reasons for making choices to do this or do that. He sees what's on the inside. As I said last week, somebody might be saying to themselves, well, you know what? You're not going to shake me up by teaching and preaching that God sees what I do. I don't know why that wouldn't shake you up. It shakes me up. It gives me pause. Wait a minute. God sees. God speaks. And God sees. We're learning this from Genesis chapter 1. From the very beginning of time as we know it. Verse number 4, we're going to get into the next and God. You see it there in the last half of the verse. The Bible says, and God divided the light from the darkness. So God said and God saw. And now in verse 4, God divided. The word divided means parted. It means separated. The division was between light and darkness. There was darkness, and then God created light, and then God divided the two from each other. God set the light apart from darkness. He distinguished light from darkness. He parted light from darkness. He put a difference between light and darkness. He put a distinction between light and darkness. Now, people, this was a literal division between light and darkness. And that distinction was made by God. God is the one who separated from light from darkness. And that distinction still exists today. It's light outside. In a few hours, it will be dark. And over the course of a 365-day year, the periods of that light and darkness lengthen and shorten. But in the end, it's light and it's dark. It's light and it's dark. That didn't start 4 years ago, 40 years ago, 400 years ago. And it sure didn't start 4 billion years ago. It started when God created the heavens and the earth. And He separated the light from the darkness. He distinguished between the two. Now, people, you know, if you were to continue to read your Bible through, you would see very clearly that God uses light and darkness symbolically. So it's not only used literally, it's used symbolically. And it's used symbolically to teach us about good and evil, about right and wrong, And that thread runs through the entire Bible. Light and darkness used to teach us about good and evil, right and wrong. Can I say this morning that light and darkness is used to teach us about right living and wrong living? Good living and evil living. Turn over to Romans chapter 13 in your Bible quickly this morning. Just find these passages. We won't be there very long. Romans chapter 13. Look with me at verse number 12. The book of Romans is just into your New Testament. Five books. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 12. And in this chapter 13, verse number 12, notice what Paul the Apostle writes here, writing God's words for people. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. There's your night and day, dark and light. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That verse is teaching us that saved people ought to be able to distinguish between works of darkness and works of light. Works of right, works of wrong. Saved people are commanded to put on the works of light, that which is right, that which is good. We are commanded to put off the works of darkness, that which is wrong, that which is evil. There is a difference. There is a distinction between right and wrong and good and evil. And saved people should learn what that distinction is and then put it to work in their lives. But that's not all. God uses light and darkness as symbolic of His people and the world's people. Now, without turning all the way back to it, you know the story, how the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. God delivered them, the Hebrew people. And they came to the Red Sea. And at that point in time, Pharaoh and his army started after them. And so they are trapped there between Pharaoh and his army and this Red Sea. Now, eventually God parted it and they walked over on dry ground. But before He parted it, Exodus 14 tells us that God allowed a cloud to come between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And that cloud divided them. That cloud gave light to the children of Israel. It gave darkness to the children of Egypt. In your Bible, Egypt is always a picture of the world. And the Bible teaches us that light and darkness is symbolic between God's people and the world's people. God's people are said to be people of light. The world's people are said to be people of darkness. Again, distinction. Division, parting, separation. We find it in Genesis chapter 1. When God divided the light from the darkness. God uses light and darkness symbolically for saved people and unsaved people. Light is symbolic of saved people and darkness is symbolic of unsaved people. Flip back a few pages to Acts chapter 26. Turn back to Acts chapter 26 and look with me at verse number 18. I'm talking here about the fact that God divided. God parted. God separated. Look at Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. He's talking here about saved people versus lost people. Look at what he says. Paul wrote, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To turn them from darkness to light. What's Paul saying? He's talking about when you and I are born into this world with our sin nature, we are people of darkness. When we get saved, we're called people of light. Unsaved people are referred to as people of darkness. Saved people are referred to as people of light. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. This is not the only place. Over and over again in the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. You turn to your right, you'll come to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. We'll find it again in this chapter and verse. Chapter 5, verse 8. Paul says to the people of the church at Ephesus, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. You were lost. You were without Christ. You were on your way to hell. You were referred to as a child of darkness, but then you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You trusted in His death, burial, and resurrection as payment for your sin. And when you trusted Christ for your salvation, you became a child of light. Now, is there a difference between darkness and light? God divided. God divided. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn to your right again. Over a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look with me there at verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica. And to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "Ye are all the children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness." Now, whoa, again, what's he saying? Children of darkness are unsaved people. Children of light are saved people. Folks, this is not a look down our nose. You're this pathetic, pitiful little child of darkness. You ain't nothing. That's not the attitude of this. The attitude of this is all of us were at one time children of darkness, but the Lord Jesus came and made salvation available. And once we trusted Christ as our Savior, we were transformed from children of darkness into children of light. And it was all done by God's grace through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. We're not looking down our noses at lost people. We want unsaved people, people who are children of darkness, to come to the light. We want them to come to Christ and be saved. My point this morning is this. God uses light and darkness symbolically to teach us there is a difference between good and evil, right and wrong, saved and unsaved. God's people and people of the world. There is a difference. There is a distinction. Or at least, there should be. And God divided. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 where we started. Hopefully you kept your... If you didn't, it's not hard to find. Okay? Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back there and look again at the phrase, "And God divided the light from the darkness." Here's my first point this morning. Very, very, very simple. God placed a distinction between light and darkness. A distinction between light and darkness. Folks, there is an obvious distinction between light and dark. And people, we are living in a world, a society right now, that puts no distinction between good and evil, right and wrong. And unfortunately, we're living in a Christian world that puts no distinction between saved and unsaved, God's people and the world's people. None. No distinction whatsoever. And I want to give you a verse without having you turn to it this morning, because it's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, and verse number 20, where the prophet wrote this, "Woe unto them." Stop. That's a strong word. The word woe. It is an exclamation of grief, of sorrow, of misery, of calamity. Now think about that. The prophet is writing grief to them, sorrow to them, misery to them, calamity to them. Who is the them? He goes on to say, answering that question, "To those who call evil good and good evil," now wait a minute, "and put darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe unto them, calamity unto them, grief unto them, sorrow unto them who confuse the distinction between good and evil, right and wrong, light and darkness." Calamity to them. That caused confusion. In today's world, everything is relative. Which means there's nothing that is necessarily right. Nothing that's necessarily wrong. There's nothing that's necessarily good. And there's nothing that's necessarily evil. And it's all just relative to your circumstances and your interpretation and your situation. That's what society says. But that's not what God said in His book. God said there is good and there is evil. There is right and there is wrong. There is light and there is darkness. There is a distinction between the too. And woe to the people who confuse it. Because we are breaking down something that God divided. It's a dangerous thing, folks. I say this morning, woe to the preachers who do not divide between light and darkness in their preaching. Preachers who refuse to place a distinction between right and wrong and good and evil from the pulpit. Woe to them. That's what God said. Now, to be honest, people, look, we love to hammer on the Joel Osteen, I never preach on sin position. That's what he said with a smile on his face. I never preach on sin. And we love to hammer on him about that. But I'm going to tell you what's sadder in my book is independent Baptists who are supposed to believe this Bible who are not willing to distinguish between right and wrong in their preaching. It's confusing. So, well, who are you? It's not me, folks. If I take this book and show you from this book the difference between right and wrong and good and evil, it's not me. It's what God said. I get so weary of hearing people say, well, that's just your interpretation. My interpretation? When it's in black and white in this book? It's not my interpretation. It's God's book. It's God's Word. Accept it as that. Boy, the bulk of the preaching today in our country is just there's no distinction. There's no distinction between good and evil and right and wrong. It's all this warm and fuzzy kind of mutedness. And that's confusing to people. People need to know what's right. People need to know what's wrong. People need to know what's good, need to know what's evil. Not from my opinion, but based on God's plain Word. This is right, this is wrong. And we don't get on that every Sunday out of the year, but people, we come to those messages, and as long as God gives me life, breath, and health, and it's His will for me to pastor and preach from this pulpit, every once in a while we're going to draw the line and say, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is evil, based on what God said. You don't do that. But people don't like to hear that. They don't want to hear that. No, people are funny. You know, we're not opposed to the doctor or the dentist or the vacuum cleaner manual. You know, we're not opposed to the doctor telling us there's a distinction between, you know, this medicine and that medicine, and don't take that one, but take this one. And here's the dentist, and he's making a distinction between this is how you use dental floss and this is not how you use dental floss. You don't wrap dental floss around your ear and pull it tight. You put it between your teeth, but that's okay. And the vacuum cleaner manual tells us to vacuum the floor this way and not this way. And we're okay with everything and everybody in society telling us how to do things that are right and not do things that are wrong until it comes to preaching. And then we don't want a man behind a pulpit to take the Bible and tell us that's not we'd rather just have somebody stand up and say, well, in some cases, in some circumstances, in some situations. And I'm not blaming it all on the people, but folks, listen very carefully. I'm not letting the preachers off the hook. But sometimes it just doesn't go over. I'm telling you. Thankfully, you know, I think a lot of us in this room are on the same page. And I can get up here and I can preach. But I'm going to tell you something, man. In some places where I preach, sometimes where pastors preach Sunday after Sunday, it don't go over. I mean, tell you something, the atmosphere gets as cold as a mother-in-law's shoulder. I'm not kidding. It gets cold. People freeze up. There's no amens. A friend of mine I was talking to in the last couple of weeks told me about a year ago, he pulled the men of his church together and he said, look, fellas, he said, I'm not old, but I'm getting older and I love preaching, but I'm not going to preach here in this church any longer. I'm not going to sit up there and preach God's Word and have you sit there like a lump on a log. So either you say amen or I'm out of here. That's what he told them, man. I said, wow. He said, we haven't had any trouble for a year. Amen. And if I told you who it was, you'd go, him? He got fed up with it. He got fed up with it. I think we're on the same page here. There needs to be preaching between what's right and what's wrong. What's good and what's evil, okay? So woe to the preacher who doesn't put a distinction between right and wrong. Woe to the preacher who in his preaching, he just breaks down that division. Woe to the parents who refuse to divide between right and wrong. And parents, you don't mind dividing between right and wrong when that child is 5, 6, and 7. But you lose your guts. So you shouldn't say that on Sunday morning. Then don't say it. You lose your guts when they turn 15, 16, and 17. You lose your courage. You get scared of your kids. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to confuse them. If you put a distinction when they're 5, 6, and 7 between right and wrong, and you alter that when they're 15, 16, and 17. Because now that 17-year-old girl can pooch up on you. When they were 7, no, don't you do that. But you try that on a 17-year-old. No, don't you do that. She'll slap you. You're afraid of them. It's not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I'm kidding about the slapping, but I'm not kidding about that. You'd be surprised how many families are run by the children. They're led by the children. Dad's afraid to get on to his son. Dad's afraid to get on to his daughter. Scared to put a distinction between right and wrong, good and evil. Put your foot down. Draw the line. Draw it biblically. Don't blow up and have a cow over something that you can't find in the book. But make a distinction. You don't want to cause confusion. God places a distinction between light and darkness, between good and evil, between what right and wrong. Let me move on to hasten number 2 this morning to say this. Look at your verse again. And God divided the light from the darkness. So the light separated from the darkness. Which one moved here? Light. The light separated from the darkness. Now, without turning to it, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14, Paul told the Corinthian people, saved people, people that went to the church at Corinth, come out from among them and be ye separate. Who is the them? Well, if you read the rest of the verse, it's very clear that the them is referring to people who are not saved. They're lost, without God and without hope in the world. And people, it's not that we turn our backs on them and refuse to witness to them, refuse to help them, refuse to love them. No, we don't do that at all. But according to the Scripture, as God's people, we have to come out from among them and be separate, divided. Separation from the world is distinguishing oneself from the unsaved world. Now, the word separation is a very traumatic word in our Christian society today. Separations? Boy, that just creates a lot of trauma amongst Christians. Those people are separatists. And then those people are legalists. That church practices and preaches separation. It's a stereotype. Like that bunch over there has things that they do and don't do. They believe there's right and there's wrong. They believe there's good and there's evil. And they believe that their position is right. If it's based on this book, it's right. It's not because of us, it's because of the book. The Word of God. It's a stereotype. It usually means those people are mean-spirited. Those people are ugly. They're hateful people. They don't love everybody. That's because their definition of love is different than God's. They use the word love meaning accepting. I'm going to tell you something very plainly from this book right here. God loves everybody, but He does not accept everybody. Does not. They're hateful. They're mean-spirited. They're separated. And separated Baptists have become ashamed of the term. What kind of church do you go to? I go to... What? Baptist church. Baptist church? What kind of Baptist church? What? Are you saying independent? Yeah, independent Baptist church. You believe in separation? Well, yeah. Cold outside, isn't it? We're ashamed of it. We're ashamed of our position. Ashamed of a biblical position. Well, it was just God who divided. Just God who distinguished light from darkness, good from evil, right from wrong. Just God. That's all.
My pastor, he preaches on separation. But that's just his interpretation.
I'm going to pop you. In the spirit. Look, and part of the problem of stereotyping is that we do have people, separated people, who are ugly spirited, mean, and hateful. Shame on them. But people, you want me to believe that there are no mean and ugly spirited people who are not separated? They're everywhere. I, for sake of time, but you remember the story of the guy with the promise keepers who was in my office back years ago chewing me out. You and John Marvin, you're just like all you Baptists. He's screaming at me in the office where the Spanish pastor's office is. I'm looking at him like, I finally said, whoa. You evangelicals are supposed to be kind and sweet. And we're supposed to be mean and ugly. You're standing in my office yelling at me. Get out. You're telling me that all evangelical people are sweet, non-separate, are sweet-spirited and kind people? That's a joke. You can't paint with that broad a brush. There are some really kind-hearted, loving people who are separated. Absolutely. Then we have people who are only half separated. Half separated. Yeah, they're the folks who only separate from, they never separate unto. Separation is two sides of the same coin, if it's done right. It is from the world unto God. We got Christian people. I was going to have you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath, listen, called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He didn't just call you out of darkness to stop here. He called you out of darkness to be in His marvelous light. Many Christians have a 5-star rating when it comes to separating from. They have a litany of things that they don't. I don't do, I don't say, I don't go, I don't wear, I don't drink, I don't eat, I don't. What do you do? Is there anything you do for God, on behalf of God, because you love God, Yeah, I come out of this. I don't, so I can do and do and do and do. I want to come out of the darkness into His marvelous light for His glory and His praise and His honor. That's what it says, that you should show forth the praises of Him. Why am I called out of darkness into His marvelous light just so I can escape hell? Well, that's one benefit. But the other purpose is so that I can bring praise to Him. And you're sipping wine and drinking alcohol and carrying on like lost people doesn't bring Him any praise. That's the problem with it. Separation full and complete is from the world unto God. It takes mentoring. It takes patience with people who just get saved. People who've come out of unchurched families where there was never any distinction between right and wrong, good and evil, and they come out and they're saved, and you start hitting them with all the stuff out of the Bible. It's like, did you ever knock on the door at like 11 o'clock in the morning and wake up somebody who worked third shift? And they come to the door and it's like, why is that? They came out of darkness into what? Light. And folks, we have to have compassion with people, patience with people who come out of darkness into light. It's like, whoa. Right? A very high society, worldly woman told her newly saved niece, your new religion has spoiled you. You will never shine in high society. And the newly saved niece responded to her aunt, I am seeking grace to shine as a light for Christ in a dark and evil world. Someday, I'll be in high society among the angels and the saints of God. Christ ruins people for the high society of this world. Is that what you're in it for? Rubbing shoulders amongst the elite of this world? The ungodly? You missed it. You were called out of darkness into His marvelous light. There should be a distinction between a child of God and an unsaved person. And God divided. Divided. Separated the light from the darkness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening. Father in heaven, take the message this morning. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Lord, help us not to lose what you're saying to us at this very moment. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask a couple of questions this morning. Pastor, thank you for the reminder from the Bible this morning. As you were preaching, the Spirit of God visited my pew, my heart. I'd be lying if I said He didn't. And I know God sees. But God visited me. And in my heart, I know some things need to be corrected about the division between lost and saved, God's people and the world's people. Some things involving me that need to be made right. Would you lift your hand this morning if that's you? If you could say that this morning, if God visited among you, your heart, thank you. Take your hands down. Are there any others? Say, Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. Let me ask this question. How many of you say, Pastor, I'm afraid that possibly I've done a pretty good job separating from, but I need to do a better job separating unto? My heart for God needs to burn brighter. That's me. I'm one of those half-separated people. And God spoke to me about that this morning. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning, wherever you are sitting? Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Take your hands down. Let me ask this question. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved, you heard me make that term, say that term over and over again, saved, children of God, as opposed to being lost and children of darkness. And if you don't know whether or not you're a child of light, born again to God, I would love to pray for you this morning. Without anybody looking, just me, hands in the air. If you do not know that you are saved, you don't understand what that means. If I could just pray for you, would you slip your hand up? I see your hand. God bless you. Is there another? I do not understand what that means. Somebody else. Before I pray, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one is looking. I would like to ask the one who just lifted a hand to look at me just for a minute. You raised your hand. The most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you're saved. I appreciate your honesty this morning. We have a lady right down here in the front that can take the Bible and show you how to be saved. She'll talk to you right down here. If you'd like to come, just come out of your seat. She's right here. Beth Reardon, we'll meet you right down here if you don't mind. That's wonderful. God bless you, honey. That's wonderful. Somebody else this morning? I don't know that I'm saved. I heard you use that term. I heard you talk about the difference between children of darkness and children of light. I don't know which one I am. Could I pray for you this morning? Father, I pray for this one that came forward. I ask, O God, for a work of the Spirit in her heart. Open her eyes to the wonderful truth of salvation in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you're saved. You need to be baptized. You came this morning, and you're willing to obey the Lord in believer's baptism and do it by the Bible way. If that's you, you can come now while we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You can come and take care of that, or come when we stand. You raised your hand this morning. God spoke to your heart. There's some things that need to be changed. Maybe this half-separated thing is eating at you this morning. You know, I'm okay with the don'ts, but I'm not really making that complete and full separation to God like I should. Let God speak to your heart this morning. Father, bless this invitation as only you can in Christ's name. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. As they play, you step out this morning and obey the Lord. You know what God said to you. You know how God said it. Many, many hands were raised. I would leave my seat. I really would. I would leave my seat. I would come as far as I could. I'd make that move towards God, toward His will, toward His Word, toward His way in my heart. If you need to be baptized, you come this morning. If you're not sure that you're saved, come and somebody can show you from the Scripture how to be saved today while we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And God divided. Just the piano playing quietly. Just the piano playing quietly. Listen, folks, some of you, many, many of you work amongst the majority of the people you work amongst are lost. They're in darkness. In some cases, they've never heard the truth. You know what the greatest testimony for truth is? You. Walking in the light. Separated from wrong and evil, but with a loving heart. A concerned heart, an interested heart. You know, when I was in Bible college, and I can't take credit for this, and I wouldn't if I thought I could. But there were several of us working on the same job, and we were able to see two of the people trust Christ on the job, two men. One became a member of this church for many years before I got here. It was just that constant testimony, day in and day out. Live a separated life with a heart full of love and care for people. And watch God use you to shine light in the darkened heart of somebody else. Maybe that ought to be your prayer as you go to work tomorrow morning. God, help me to shine forth the praises, your wonderful praises, by living in the light. Father, bless the message to our hearts this morning. Thank you for the truth. Work, I pray, in this person's heart along with all of our everybody else's, all of us, Lord, that you spoke to. And teach us even more from your book as we get into it this week and next Sunday and beyond. What a great Bible. Lord, help us to be in it, but help it to be in us as well. In Christ's name, amen.